It's not fun being sick. And truth be told, I'm not meant to be at the pulpit this morning. But I just felt, you know what, I got to preach. And so I'm going to make it short. But I guess I'm beginning to figure out the older we get, it's harder for your body to recover. And I think I overdid things. You know, after spending being cooked up in an airplane for 34 hours under that pressurized, you know, conditions, came back, went to a graduation, then went to a wedding in Colombia. And literally by Sunday afternoon, I had to tell my wife, even as we're having lunch, I said, I need to go lie down. And I spent the entire week in bed, but thank God I'm on my feet this morning. But, you know, while I was in bed, I ordered a book that one of my best friends wrote, who's been battling cancer for about a year and a half now, titled Refined. And for some reason, the books never got to me. And so eventually I called back IPA and I said, guys, you know, I still haven't seen this book. And so they sent me another copy, which I got. And I read it basically in 7 hours, in one sitting, as I was lying there. And it was very hard. Because I knew everything my friend was going through at the time. I was constantly on the phone with him, trying to encourage him, praying with him, talking to him. But it was something else reading those words. And he actually wrote the book on his iPhone while he was in the hospital. And I want to encourage you to get it. It's right here. It's called Refined. He had a lot of great things to say in here. Very, very touching. At one point, really, it was touch and go. Even in the hospital. He was literally dying. You know, when they, you know, press code red and all of a sudden all these people descend into your room and they're telling his wife to please step out. He went through that. And yet at the end of it all, he said in his book, towards the end, cancer is one of the best things that's ever happened to me. Because for him, he understood that God had to take him through all that so that one day, he will get a chance to see this God. In Luke chapter 8, we find a story of a woman who had been battling an illness for a long time. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. I've titled the message, One Touch. In Luke chapter 8, in verse 40, it says, now when Jesus returned, a crowd welcomed him, for they were all expecting him. Then a man named Jairus, a synagogue leader, came and fell at Jesus' feet, pleading with him to come to his house, because his only daughter, a girl of about 12, was dying. As Jesus was on his way, the crowds almost crushed him. And a woman who was there, who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years, but no one could heal her. She came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak, and immediately her bleeding stopped. Who touched me? Jesus asked. When they all denied it, Peter said, Master, the people are crowding and pressing against you. But Jesus said, someone touched me. I know that power has gone out from me. Then the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, came trembling and fell at his feet. In the presence of all the people, she told why she had touched him and how she had been instantly healed. Then he said to her, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace. Here we read the story of a woman who is in serious trouble. If you read stats today, cancer touches one of every four individuals. Somebody you know has cancer or is battling through it. One out of every four. If you look at a room this size, just count every fourth person. That's what you and I are up against. Obviously, right here, this woman is going through this stuff. We don't know. All we know is the Bible says she's been going through this for 12 years. We don't know what kind of ailment it was. All her problems were summarized in one verse. She had an incurable disease. The Bible tells us that she had spent all she had on doctors. And instead of getting better, she got worse. You and I know from Leviticus 15, and you can go read out in your spare time, that when you have a flow of blood, you're considered unclean. Our health was gone. She was physically desperate. Her money was gone. She was financially desperate. Because of her uncleanness, she could not enter into the temple. Now, we have no mention of whether she had kids or had a husband. There's no mention of that in the passage. But you can imagine the loneliness. You can imagine how hard this was for this lady. Can you relate? It's not fun being sick. And chances are, it is through some illness that God is going to use you to get you and I to the other side. It was barely a year ago. And a good friend of mine was standing right here on this pulpit, Damien Jean-Baptiste. The title of his lesson was, "Do You Want to Get Well?" And he's no longer here. Sometime last year, he woke up in heaven. Someday soon, you are going to wake up in heaven. But you see, this story is in the Bible for a reason. Because imagine, the Bible tells us that Jesus did a lot of miracles that are not recorded in this book. God, in his wisdom, said, you know what? This story of this lady, I'm going to put in my word to encourage my children not to give up, but to press on. And all it takes is for you and I simply to touch Jesus. Now, obviously, he's no longer here physically for us to touch him. But he's right here in this book. Are we touching Jesus on a daily basis? And is that touch making a difference in our lives? She said to herself, if I can just touch the edge of his cloak, I will be healed. Again, by definition, according to the law, she was not even supposed to be there. Because with all the bleeding, everything she touches, go read Leviticus 15, everything she lies on becomes unclean. For 7 days. And yet, she maneuvered herself through the crowd. And said, you know what? All I got to do is touch the Savior. Which was what she did. You see, sickness humbles us. And shows us that we're nothing. It shows us that we are not the ones in control. You know, it's very easy when you're fit and you're happy and your life is good. You get up, you bounce out of bed in the morning, you're running around, you know, you go to work, you feel like, man, you know, I'm the man, I'm the woman, I'm making things happen. You and I are not doing jack. We get out of bed every day by the grace of Almighty God. And be very careful. One of these days, God may take that away from you. You know, it's always amazing to me how when we're sick or when we lose a loved one or when something really catastrophic happens to us, God has our undivided attention. I don't know what it's like to sit in a doctor's office and the doctor looks at you and says, man, you got cancer. Nietzsche is one of the most fit people I know. When he went through his operation, after he woke up, the doctors were telling him, boy, you're the best specimen of a human that we've seen after going on the inside. He's that fit. If somebody would have told us, of all of us, he'll be diagnosed with prostate cancer and aggressive from a prostate cancer, but I said, you don't know what you're talking about. He's the one that's the most fit of all of us. And I say that to say, you know what? The older we get, brothers and sisters, you can't take your health for granted. We got to really take care of ourselves. Going to the gym and losing weight, whatever, is not an option. This is the temple of the Holy Spirit. I got to confess, I used to have a really bad attitude about this many years ago. My attitude was, you know what? If I'm going to die and go to heaven, I'm going to eat my way all the way there. Because my attitude was, say, what's the point anyhow? I'm going to die, so I might as well, you know, enjoy what I want and just eat everything I can. And brothers would sit me and say, Richard, you don't get it. If you are not in the best shape of your life, you can't do the work God wants you to do on this earth. I'm not good to anybody on a sick bed. I got to be fit. I got to take care of this temple. But you see, God will get your attention. I want to read you something Nietzsche said in his book. And I'm going to invite him down here. He needs to come and preach this on his own. Incredible stuff. Listen to this. He says, there will be times that our struggle causes us to face death. All that and more happened to Jesus. And yet he overcame. He is my hero. My role model. Don't ever think for a moment that it was easy for Jesus to overcome. You don't sweat blood over things that are easy. He is my hero. Hero, because he's the ultimate overcomer. Another chapter he wrote, don't ever give up when all hope is gone. Step up in faith. Take your mountain and say to yourself, I will plow forward. I will climb this mountain. You told me it's too high, too far, too steep, too rocky, and too difficult. But it's my mountain, and I will climb it. You will soon find me on top waving, or you will find me dead on the mountainside from trying. Living by faith is a risky business, but there is no other way to live the Christian life. You cannot live by faith and be safe at the same time. You did not come this far just to quit. He writes, your best story is yet to be told. I believe, too, that my best story is yet to be told. I mean, he had me crying just at so many different times. Says, at some point, he was praying for God to take him. Says, the only request he had, he said, God, keep me here, please. I want to walk my 13-year-old daughter down the aisle. He's got three kids, two boys and a girl. The two boys are disciples. Jennifer is 13. And as I read this, it was around 3 o'clock in the morning. I was like, wow. He was thinking all this stuff. He was going through all this stuff. I didn't know. If God decides to take him, before his daughter gets married. I've not told him this yet, but I will. I will be honored to walk his daughter Jennifer down the aisle. He's one of my best friends. He and his wife Daisy were on the mission team to Nairobi, Kenya. We're all there together from the beginning. I never forget when he was leaving Nairobi to go lead the church in Harare, Zimbabwe. My wife and I had just gotten married, or we're just about to get married, if I'm not mistaken. And he said, you know, we'd like to take you guys out to dinner. And we're eating dinner. I goes, you know, he says, home. He calls me home. I call him home too. We're homeboys. He's the only guy who calls me home. He says, home. He said, my wife and I, we're going to give you everything in our house as your wedding present. Living room furniture, dining room furniture, bedroom furniture, everything. Sarah and I were speechless. I mean, what do you say if something like that? He's that kind of a guy. Very generous, very giving of himself, of his time, of his life. He was studying for a PhD in economics when he decided to come on the mission team. And he's been preaching the word ever since. Never stopped. Like I said, I got to bring him down here. I got to let him come preach this lesson himself. He says, home. Cancer has changed me. I see this life very, very differently. And I'm thankful for everything I've been through. And I share that to say, you may be going through some stuff. Are you going to allow it to draw you closer to Jesus? Or are you going to allow it to get you back and bitter? There are only two choices. We can allow whatever it is we face, whether it's an illness or the loss of a loved one, to get us closer to God. Or we can take a different route, be bitter, and question God's goodness. Because you and I are going to go through this life one way or the other. I've just found it's a lot easier going through it with Jesus by my side. And that's what being a Christian is all about. God never promised us a trouble-free life. If anything, he says the opposite. That in this world, you and I will have trouble. But you and I need to take heart because he has overcome the world. And so no matter what it is you're facing, no matter what it is you're going through, all it takes is one touch that will change not only your life, but your eternity. Amen. This woman pressed on toward Jesus. You can write this one down. Mark chapter 5 verse 28. Because that's where she thought, you know what? If I can just touch the edge of his cloak, I will be healed. Her deliverance came with contact with Jesus. Her touch was a touch of faith. She got more than she bargained for. Remember, she came, she wanted to get healed. Notice what Jesus says. Daughter, your faith has healed you in peace. He called her daughter. Amen? Again, Jesus not only took care of the physical, he took care of the spiritual also. So that's what I love about God. He always gives us more than we bargain for. Just says, hey, somebody touch me. Peter says, Master, you got to be kidding me. People are pressing to, and you're asking who touched me? He says, no. Power has gone out from me. Because Jesus wanted people to notice her faith. And obviously the woman came forward and says, you know, I'm the guilty one. And he says, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace. And here we are 2,000 years later. We're still reading about it. One touch. That's all it took. Again, prior to this time, in the history of the Gospels, we had no idea of anybody, you know, trying this kind of stunt. I believe after this incident, Again, the Bible says there are many things that are not written in the Bible. Hey, did you hear about that lady that just touched Jesus and she was healed? You better believe that people were pressing on. Say, I don't have to get him to stop. All I need to just do is just get my hand in there. And I'm going to be healed. And I am convinced of it. That many people were healed that way. Although we have no record of it. But again, the point is, does your faith inspire other people? You know, it was very encouraging and very moving and very inspiring. You know, several weeks ago when Alan was preaching, just talking about these heroes in the church. Brothers and sisters that are going through stuff. Why are we inspired by lives like that? Because when you see people overcome, when you see people that are meant to be complaining and down and out about life, when you see them putting one foot in front of the next, you know, and not having the energy to do it, there's something about it that helps you realize that you and I have nothing to complain about. Because, like, what's my excuse? Every week you see Bill, as a matter of fact, when we came in this morning, there was a chair over there, and I moved it to the back, and I was told, oh, you know, that seat is for Bill. She's going to be in the choir. She's going to be singing. Amen. Bill Haynes has multiple sclerosis. That sister is at every service. She doesn't complain. I know she's in pain. I can't even imagine all the stuff she's going through. And there are many others. But she loves God. And one day, she's going to wake up on the other side. There will be no more MS. No more suffering. That's where you and I are going. I've said it before and I'll say it again. I'm so looking forward to getting to the other side. There are no doctors in heaven. Praise Jesus. I praise God for them on this side of eternity. Amen? We're all going to be well. We're all going to be okay. We got to make sure that we're pressing on towards Jesus. You can't be worried about what people are going to say and what they're going to think. They think you're weird anyhow. So go ahead and be weird. You know, some of us, you know, we're not Christians yet because we're concerned about what other people are going to say. We're talking about your eternity here. I don't care what other people think. I got to make sure I get myself to heaven. This is not a game. We get only one chance at this life. One day you're going to go to bed and you're not going to wake up. I promise you. One day you're going to leave your house and you're not going to make it back in the evening. That is a guarantee. Because we're all going to depart from this world one way. And I'm thankful God doesn't tell us how. If not, we'll be all nervous wrecks. You read of stories, people just go to bed, you know, they tell their wife, honey, I love you, and they go to sleep, and then the next thing, the guy doesn't wake up the next morning, or she doesn't wake up the next morning. It happens every time. 7,000 people leave this earth every day. 7,000. That's a lot of people. And guess what? One day, that's going to be me, that's going to be you. But the only thing that's going to make sense, we got to make sure that we've touched Jesus. You know, Peter did an awesome job again this morning talking about the sacrifice of Christ. That's what this is all about. Have you come in contact with that blood? That perfect sacrifice? My Bible teaches very clearly that you come in contact with that blood when you repent of your sin, when you make Jesus the Lord of your life, and when you are immersed in water for the forgiveness of your sins.
It doesn't happen any other way. You can't get it by praying Jesus into your heart. It's not in the Bible. You can't get it by being baptized as an infant. It's not in the Bible. You got to have the courage to do what the Bible teaches. Amen? Amen? And the truth is, the longer we are on this earth, the harder it is for us to face reality. My father did not become a Christian until he was 70 years old. I don't know about you, that's a long time. His attitude was, you know what? Hey, I brought you into this world. Now you're going to teach me the Bible? I've been reading this Bible before you were born. What you going to tell me? That was his attitude. But again, God in his wisdom used life to humble him, opened up his heart, and he became a Christian at the age of 70. He died at 74. You see, and I share that to say, it's never too late. I wasn't here a couple of weeks ago, but I heard, you know, you guys all, you know, sang happy birthday to Miss Marilyn. She just turned 80. She's the oldest member of our church. Do you know the courage it took for her to abandon all the stuff that she had believed and grown up with and say, you know what? What does the Bible say? If the Bible says it, then I'm going to do it. All it took was one touch. And she's seated here. From a heavy Jewish background. And Jews, they're not easy to convert. Okay, they're very hard to convert. But she's now a disciple. Amen? Amen. And so I share and say, you know what? Nothing is impossible with God. And so I'm appealing to you this morning, if you're seated here, you've been looking at the Bible, or you've never even looked at the Bible, let me encourage you to get into it. Let me encourage you to get to know this Jesus. He wants you back home. The Christian life is an awesome life. For me, in a couple of weeks, it'll be 27 years. I'm sorry, you couldn't pay me $500 million to go back to the old life that I used to live. I'm sorry. Because my soul is priceless. Your soul is priceless. Being a Christian is awesome. The peace of mind that you experience. Now I got brothers and sisters all over this world. It's an amazing thing. You got people who don't even know you, praying for you. At your doorstep to do anything for you simply because you're a child of God like they are. That's what it's all about. Amen. But all it takes is one touch. And so let me encourage you to go ahead and keep touching Jesus every single day. And one day, you will wake up in heaven. They've asked us to please clear out the auditorium. There is some ceremony going on in here, I believe, for their graduation at Merrill Creek High School right here immediately afterwards. And so please, immediately we're done with the closing prayer, if we can exit and take the fellowship outside so that they can come in here and set up. It's been great being together this morning. Scott is going to come and lead us in a closing prayer, and then we're going to be dismissed very quickly. Thank you very much.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, God, it is so good to worship you, God. You're so good, Lord. Thank you for allowing us to come before you this morning. Father, to think about you, to remember you, God, how much you love us, how much you bless us, how much you've given us, God. Thank you, God, that we can touch you every day. Father, we need you. We need your touch every day, God, to make it through this life. Father, we want, Father, to see you one day. We want to see you one day in heaven, God. Please give us strength every day to fight the challenges that we go through, Father, that this world have on us, God. Help us to be overcomers, God. Help us to be men and women of faith, God, to shine for this world, God. Father, we pray that a lot of people, many, many people can come, Father, to see you, God. God, thank you, Lord, so much for this morning. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You're dismissed.